All right. Good morning, everyone. 8:30 last night, Buffalo Fire responded to a call on Butler Avenue where they encountered a 2.5-story frame dwelling, two-family home. Upon arrival, crews encountered fire on the second floor extending into the attic. They quickly stretched attack lines to the attic where they encountered very high heat conditions. During the course of the fire, a mayday was called, and as you know, injuries were sustained to four of our firefighters. Two of them were treated and released for first degree burns to chest, back, and arms. The remaining two firefighters remain hospitalized, one with third-degree burns to the hands and wrists, and one with first-degree burns to his face, arms, chest, and back. Last night and this morning, myself and the rest of my command staff did a visit with the firefighters, the injured firefighters, as well as their families. And last night, there was a large contingent of both firefighters and family members on hand to lend their support and do whatever they can to console the family members. All right. Are there any questions?
Fires rushing in, they've got all this protective gear, and we think it's hot, but it's cool because they're cool, they're all protected. So could you talk a little bit about that? Maybe that misconception in a situation like this, how you end up getting burned despite having all this stuff on you?
Yeah, and that's actually a great question. And, you know, we do have some great equipment, actually top-of-the-line equipment. In this case, a lot of the burns were actually steam burns. I don't know if you're familiar with those or not. But when you're in most fires, you know, when you put water on the fire, it creates water vapor. And a lot of times, superheated steam, which in this case is what happened, and that superheated steam can permeate our protective gear, particularly between the layers, the vapor barrier, and the outside of the coat, and wherever your skin is in close contact with your protective gear. Actually, they can you can get steam burns just from your own sweat that you're generating while you're working. So,
can you talk about how difficult it is when those mayday calls go out and what goes through a firefighter's mind and how you work quickly to get them out?
It's very difficult, as you know, but you know, we follow all their SOPs and protocols, and we drill all the time on these situations, emergency situations, and the crews were able to react very well and professionally and actually rescue our firefighter and get him out, and actually they saved his life.
Can you tell us more about that mayday call? I mean, can you take us through what happened? You went up the stairs into the attic and then what?
Yes, there were crews in the attic, so our most seriously injured firefighter was on one of the attack lines, and he got separated from the line, got disoriented. He got down, because actually we spoke to him today, so I actually got it right from the firefighter's mouth. So he was physically exhausted at one point because he couldn't find his way back out of the attic, so he decided to, you know, actually his training kicked in, so he got down in a prone position, tried to exercise shallow breathing to extend his air supply, and just stay there until help arrived, which it did very quickly. So I want to commend the crews of the rescue, Injured 33, and other members of both those companies that discovered him and evacuated him to the second floor and then outside and onto the hospital.
Was he actually the one to able to submit the mayday? And is it as simple as him radioing somehow? Mayday?
He actually attempted to initiate the mayday himself. He removed his gloves to hit his man down button, to find his man down button and to activate it. He was unsuccessful, and that's why he actually suffered the burns to his hands, because he removed his gloves to attempt to initiate the mayday.
Were any family members home
at the time? Yes, there were three people at home on the second floor. They were alerted by a passerby, and they were already outside the structure when our crews arrived.
What do you mean initiate the mayday? Is there like a button?
There is a button on our portable radio, yes. It's called the man down button.
And he was able to use that or not able?
He attempted to use it, but it was unable to activate it.
So how does the mayday then get sent? Is it the radio or something?
The mayday was sent out by a member of the rescue company who discovered him.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, by radio, okay. By radio.
So he wasn't able to communicate out, I'm in trouble. He just took steps to preserve himself until...
Correct, and he did attempt...
to find that he was in trouble.
Yes, and he did, like I said, he did attempt to activate his man down button. So he knew he was in trouble, but he was unable to physically activate his man down button.
About how long was that period from when he, you know, detached from the attack line to when he was actually found by everybody else? How long was that time period?
Just guessing by the timeline, within a couple minutes. Yeah, very short period of time.
Is this the same fire company that responded to the Shirley Avenue fire and the Leroy fire?
Injured 33 and the rescue were both at the Shirley Avenue fire and the Leroy fire, yes.
So this has been a tough couple of weeks for this engine. Can you just kind of describe the way that, you know, the firefighters are feeling?
Yeah, as you said, it's been a tough couple of weeks, you know, with the fatalities, with the injuries. Yes, it has been, and yeah. And we're reaching out. We're doing everything we can. We have the EAP coordinators from the city and the union, grief counselors. We had Father Paul Sile, who's just recently appointed as the Catholic chaplain to the Buffalo Fire Department. You know, he was with the family last night. So we're doing everything internally and externally to deal with this.
Can you tell us a little bit more about, I mean, how many people lived in the home? Is the home lost?
There were three people living at the home at the time. Not sure who lived on the second floor yet, so we're still working on that.
How much damage?
We're looking at least $100,000 in damage.
Can you talk more about the cause?
We suspect it's electrical at this time, but it's still under investigation.
What are the steps that are taken to, you know, once they all make a recovery, how do they get back into full-time duty? Is there a transitional phase, or is it just after they get the okay, they just come out?
As far as, are you asking about the injured personnel?
Yes.
Well, they remained injured on duty is their status. So based on their medical evaluation, they could be out for a week, a month, 6 months, whatever the case may be.
One, you know, if they're out for an extended period of time, mm-hmm. Is there kind of a transitional phase for the Buffalo Fire Department to, you know, if they're away from duty for so long, just to get them back in, ease them back in as opposed to throw them in the deep end?
No, I mean, no member comes back to full duty unless they're medically evaluated and certified to come back.
Anybody else? The firefighter with the most serious injuries, did he get steam burns and other burns?
No, actually, his burns were very serious, third-degree burns to his hands.
Thank you.